Here on Daf Pei Omid Beis, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Perek HaZorek in Masechta Gittin. And the case is the following. A man throws a get at his wife and she is in his rishus. And even though we have a halacha of chotzer, that the chotzer of an isha is like her yad, and when the Torah says v'nosan v'yada, it could be delivered into her chotzer as well. Premise number two is that a kli is considered a chotzer, and therefore, when it says in the Mishnah, Zroko la l'toch cheka, o l'toch kalsa, harezu megureshes, it means that he threw the get into her chek, say onto her body, and that we understand that even though she is located in his rishus, but nevertheless any part of her body is considered a separate rishus, and she's kona. Or perhaps the concept of cheka means, let's say, for example, she has begodim, garments that sort of stretch over the ground. That's also called a chatzer. And kalsa means a sewing basket. Is the divorce is valid. Harezu megureshes. Now, assuming that she put the kalsa down on the rishus of the Baal, then the chiddush here would be that despite the fact that she's in the rishus of the Baal, nevertheless her chotzer, her kli in this case, still serves as a separate independent rishus. And therefore it's not batel to the rishus. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, my timer, Pashatita lei mehahi. Why do you bring a raya from that mission in Gittin? Demachula mea uchli beuchla. Uchli is a heavy weight. And they've already taken this heavy weight and they use it sort of like as a hammer. And they've knocked on this raya and then banged it 100 times. In other words, there are many different answers and reasons why this is a raya that's rejected. Many different ways of possibly interpreting that Mishnah as to why the get is valid, despite the fact that her chotzer, her kli, is in the rishus of the Baal. Tiyomar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Vehu shahaisa kalsa tluyaba. According to the Ukimta of Shmuel, the case is where this kalsa, this basket, was hanging around her neck, was hanging over her body. And in such a case, it's considered part of her body itself. And any part of her body, as we said before, is definitely considered a separate rishus. And Reish Lakish gives another answer. Reish Lakish says, Kshura Afalpi she'ena tluyaba, or if the basket is tied around her body, even though it's not uplifted from the air, it's not in the airspace, it's on the ground itself, nevertheless, that's enough to be considered a separate rishus. In other words, definitely, if the basket is tied around her, it's considered part of her body. Rav Adabar Ava Omar, Kigon Shahisa Kalsa Munachas La Be Yerchoseha, if it's between her legs, in that case the basket is considered in a rishus which the Baal allows her to use. In other words, it's within her body. And Rav Yehoshua Bered Rav Ami Omar Kigon Shahisa Bala Mocher Klosos, if it's in a place within his rishus where he keeps his baskets, and he doesn't mind if she has a basket there, then he definitely gives her rishus to use the basket. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Makom Cheka Kanui Lo. Rabbi Yochanan says that you don't have to give all these ukibdas and tell me it's talking about this situation and that special case, but just the very fact that he gives her reshus, makom kalsa koni lo, he's makna her the area where she receives the get. Why? My time the Rabbi Yochanan. Omar of my time, Rabbi Yochanan, fisha ein adam makbid lo al makom cheka v'lo al makom kalsa. Person, in this case the Baal, he's not makbid on the place where she keeps any part of her body or her baskets or so forth and so on. Now, it could very well be that Rabbi Yochanan means to say that here in the case of a get, since we know that the Baal wants to divorce his wife, so that's already kind of a gilui milsa, that definitely he would be makna her the chatzer, he would rent her out any part of the chatzer where she would need to be kona her get. El pshotla meha, but perhaps we can bring a raya from a different brisa. And that's what we want to discuss today in the Shia here. We want to get to Daf Pei Vav Mirtz Hashem, this brisa, and this brisa that we're going to discuss. And then we're going to have another brisa, is going to be poshet the original suffix. And then we'll take a minute to go back to the original suffix, so we put the sugya into perspective. What is the famous suffix of Rav Sheshes, and what is the topic of our sugya? What is the main issue that we want to cover?
Do my sandwich daf.
So if you take a look again, we're up to Daf Pei Vav Amid Aleph for today.
Okay.
But we're finishing here on Pei Hei Amid Beis, and if you take a look again, I'm just reviewing to give us a perspective on the fourth line down on Pei Hei Amid Beis. Boy Minei Rav Sheshes Mi Rav Huna. This is the famous suffix of Rav Sheshes, and it's called Kelev Shalokeach Bershus Mocher, which means the following: that in order to effectuate a kinyan, and we're talking about metaltalin, we need to take the object out of the reshus of the mocher and take it into the reshus of the lokeach. Now, if it's done physically, that's the simple case, where you actually take the object. Let's say, for example, he's selling him fruits. So the buyer, the lokeach, takes the fruits into his own personal domain. That's the simple case. If, on the other hand, the fruits remain in the domain, in the reshus of the mocher, that's also a simple case. There, for sure, there's no kinyan. The complicated case is where indeed the object that's being sold is in the reshus of the lokeach. It's been taken out of the domain of the of the mocher. But the problem is that even though it's in the airspace of the reshus of the lokeach, nevertheless it's physically located inside a utensil, inside a kli. Now the question here is how do we gauge, how do we judge between the following conflict? The conflict here is between the general reshus, the airspace of the domain, and in a sense the space that's occupied by a utensil, by a kli. And we could have two different variations of this question. You could have a situation where the lokeach who's buying has his kli in the reshus of the mocher. So the mocher basically takes the fruits and he puts them into the kli of the lokeach. Or in the case of a get, the woman has her basket in the reshus of the Baal, and the Baal now puts the get into her basket, but it's in the airspace of his domain. And you could have a flip side case. You could have where instead of Kelev Shalokeach, you could have Kelev Shalmocher Bishus Lokeach. Let's say, for example, I want to sell you fruits, and I put the fruits in my basket, and I give you the basket in the buyer's reshus. Do I look at the reshus, and now the lokeach has taken the fruits out of the domain of the mocher into the domain of the lokeach? Or do I say no, that since the fruits are still in the basket of the mocher, in his utensil, even though the general reshus is that of the lokeach, what's gover, what's more powerful, is the kli rather than the rishus, in which case it never really left the rishus of the mocher because it's in his basket.
So that's really the question. Which is more powerful, the rishus
or the keli? In the case, there's a head-on collision between the kli and the rishus. The Rashbam uses a very strange phrase here in this sugi. He wants to say that maybe the kli is batel to the rishus, means it loses its identity. So in the first case that we're discussing, which is the explicit suffix of Rav Sheshes of Kalev Shalokeach Bishus Mocher, in that case, if the Kli is bottled to the Rishus of the Mocher, then the Peros have never left the domain of the Mocher, and therefore the Kinyan has not been effectuated. We have to add a few points here. Just again, it's very difficult to jump into that Pei Vav without some background information, and we're going to try and accomplish whatever we can in the time that we have, but we need certain, let's say, review of certain basics. Point number one. The principle of Rishus HaRabim is very, very relevant here. That's the subject of this Tosus here on Pei Hei Amid Beis Divrei Maskil Kalev. Afal Gav de Rishus HaRabim Amrina Li El de Lekuliyama Lokana. So the sugya earlier on Daf Pei Hei discusses the case where the Lokeach puts his basket down in Rishus HaRabim, public domain, and now the Mocher measures out the fruits and puts it into the Kalev of the Lokech in Rishus HaRabim. In that case, for sure, there's no doubt about it, there's no Kinyan in such a case. Why? Because in such a case, the Lokech does not have rights to use the Rishus HaRabim. No one gave him standing rights to put his kelim down in Rishus HaRabim. On the other hand, there's something called a simta. A simta already has a different status. A simta is a place that's within the Rishus HaRabim. Let's say it's on the side, on the shoulder, and it's been designated by the Bnei Rishus HaRabim for use for anyone who goes into that simta, into that small area. So in that case, the Gemara says that if the mocher puts his fruits into the keli of the lokech in a simta, then for sure the kinyan has been effectuated. Why? Because there, the lokech has rights to use the simta to put down his kli. So that means that the legal ownership of the rishus, if it accrues to the lokech, then there's no collision here between the general rishus and the kli. Again, our problem, Rav Sheshes' problem, is when there's a head-on collision, a tug-of-war, between the general Rishus and the Kli. That doesn't apply in a Simta. On the other hand, in the case of Rishus HaRabim, there's not even a Havamina that the Lokech could be Kona with his Kli in Rishus HaRabim. The real suffix now is when the Mocher places the fruits into the kli of the lokeach within the rishus of the mocher. So from the perspective of the general rishus, the peiros never left the rishus of the mocher. But on the other hand, since the mocher gave permission to the lokeach to bring his kli in and place it down on the floor of the mocher, therefore in a sense the mocher is giving that permission, which constitutes, again this is the famous Shitas HaRosh, alone what's called in the Lashon HaShas Schirus, in which case the Lokech is now a Socher who's rented space in the Rishus of the Mocher. If the Lokech has rented space in the Rishus of the Mocher, then the Rishus of the Mocher is completely null and void as far. It's not relevant to have discussion because the Lokech now has ownership over the Rishus of the Mocher. In fact, one of the questions that all the Mefarshim address is, why not assume that every single time the Mocher indicates his Gemiras Das, his interest in effectuating this transaction, by definition we should assume he's loaning his Rishus. And the answer is that, okay, we might want to assume that he's loaning the Rishus, but we don't know that for sure. And the Gemara in the next couple of lines is going to discuss all sorts of scenarios in which the Mocher might decide that he wants to back out of this Kinyan. So we never know 100% sure, unless he says explicitly, that's going to be our sugya today on Daf Pei Vav, the Mocher says explicitly to Lokeach, I want you to put your keli down over here. I'm giving you a loan, a schiris, a rental agreement. Again, the question how this rental agreement is effectuated, because normally in Karka, you need what's called Kesef. And here, the lokeach gave the kesef in order to purchase for the value of the fruit. How then does he acquire ownership in the karak of the mocher? That's the big issue, that's not for us. Good. Then we have to add two other points here as a matter of introduction. There's something called a kinyan hagbah. The power of a kinyan hagbah, and again, this is undeniable, there's no suffering about that, is so great that it works even in the rishus of the mocher. So for example, if the mocher gives the fruits to the lokeach in his rishus, meaning in the seller's rishus, and now the buyer lifts up, let's say three tfachim al gabikaki, lifts up the peros, then hagbah is an automatic kinyan even in the rishus of the mocher. Number two, there's something called a kinyan meshicha. Meshicha would be, again, meshicha only works, as we'll soon see, in an object that doesn't lend itself to hagbah. Meshicha is what we call a fallback kinyan. It only works in a fallback situation when there's no possibility of hagbah. So then something called meshicha. Let's say if you have a behema gasa, a very large animal, an elephant, you know, you can't expect to pick up an elephant. Elephant weighs, I don't know, 10 tons. I don't know what it weighs. So what you do is you do a meshicha. And there are various ways of effectuating a meshicha. And the meshicha itself also has a very strong power. But again, even in the case of meshicha, we need that the object be removed from the domain of the mocher. Okay. Now, having set up Rav Sheshes' Safek, which means in this contention between the Rishus and the Kli, which wins out, which is primary and which is secondary, the Gemara wants to suggest that we have a Raya from a Brisa. So this is at the bottom of Daf Pei Hei Amid Beis. And here we've gone through an entire sugya about get with a Mishnah and Gittin. And now we have a brice. Again, it's a little bit hard for me to see the page, but I'm going to try to do the best I can over here. Okay.
So here, Rabbi,
No, I think I'm okay. Let's look at Ella Pshotla. If you count up from the bottom of the page, it's about, I would say, 10 lines. It's a little bit below the Tosus Kigon. And El Pshotla Meha. We're going to quote a Brisa. And again, this Brisa was back on Pei Heim and Olive. And now the Gemara is quoting this Brisa as a Raya to Rav Sheshes, to answer Rav Sheshes' question. The Brisa says that Bershus Mocher, right? If the kinyan was made in Rishus HaMocher, so in effect the peros were never taken out of the Rishus of the Mocher, lo kana, there's no kinyan. Ad, unless one of two things happens. Number one, shiat bihena, as we said before, this is the power, the special unique power of the kinyan akbar. O ad shiotzi ena mershuso, or he does a meshicha in which he schleps the peros out of the Rishus of the Mocher. Now, what that means is that the buyer has not yet taken it into his rishus, but once it leaves the rishus of the mocher and it's in the kli of the lokeach, so then the keli is no longer in the rishus of the mocher. Then there's no longer a conflict between the rishus mocher and the kli, and that's effectuated. Says the Gemara, "My lav the keli of the lokeach." If he's able to take to pull out the peros out of the rishus of the mocher, then let's assume the kli itself is owned by the lokeach. Because after all, what happens is, very often, again, it's not so common today, but you can go into a store even today, you bring your kelim, and the mocher starts putting the object that he's transacting into your kli. So right now, the Gemara assumes that the Bryce is talking about a case where the kli is owned by the lokeach. So the mocher is now placing the object that's being sold into the kli of the lokeach. And yet the Brisa says that there's no kinyan until the kli is removed from the rishus of the mocher. As long as the kli is in the rishus of the mocher, then the kli itself is considered batel, to use the Rashbam's terminology, to the general rishus which is owned by the Mocher, and therefore it never left the Rishus of the Mocher. That would prove that Rav Sheshes's Sofek is now answered. That's called a Pshitus Lefshotus HaSofek, in to the effect of Lo Kana Lokeh. The Lokeh cannot be Kona even if the merchandise was put into his own utensil, as long as that Kli is in the Rishus of the Mocher. My love, the Caleb to Lokeh.
We've got that telling myself today. Everybody brings their basket to Rabbi Levi. It's their basket in Rabbi Levi's domain.
Who is Rabbi Levi? I don't even
know. It's a big store.
Oh, Rami Levi. Oh, no, yeah, if it said Rabbi Levi, I was thinking, you know, usually Levi is...
all the stores today, they don't give plastic containers, so you bring your own container.
Correct. You go to the Shuk, for example, Machliudi, you'll see this today, where I come over to the proprietor and I say, here's my utensil, please put the... Oh, so the Gemara says, lo. That's not the case in the price, but rather, Bekelov de Mocher. What we're talking about is Caleb de Mocher. Now, obviously, you could ask the following question. If we're talking about Caleb de Mocher and we're in the Rishus of the Mocher, then what's exactly the Chiddush of this Braisa? The Braisa is telling me that the Kinyan is not effectuated until such time as Lokeh takes the merchandise out of the Rishus of the Mocher. I mean, that seems obvious, but maybe the Gemara understands now one of two things. Either that this Braisa is coming to Mechadish the power of Hagbah, or alternatively, this part of the Braisa, which is the Reisha, is only an introduction to the Sefer, the Braisa, which we're about to study now. The Gemara says it would be the Reisha of the Caleb de Mocher, if this Braisa is talking about a case where the Kaili belongs to the Mocher, is Sefer Nami the Caleb de Mocher, this is what we call the integrity of a Braisa, that generally speaking, we don't like to split a Braisa into two parts and say the Reisha is talking about one case and the Sefer another. Amos Sefer, let's look at the Sefer and see if we can maintain that we're talking about a case of Caleb de Mocher. The Sefer says the following, Birshus Lokeach, if the transaction was taking place in the buyer's domain, then Kevon Shekibel Olav Mocher, which means the very moment that, let's say this is called Pasak Dama, right, in every transaction, the Mocher has to agree together with the Lokech on a certain price. And Kibol Olav Mocher means that the Mocher said, if the Lokech offered to pay X, and the Mocher said, I agree, I'm willing to sell it to you at that price, is Kana Lokech, the Kinyan is effectuated. Now, Ve'iva Caleb the Mocher, if we're talking about the Caleb of the Mocher, am I Kana Lokech? All right. The Mocher Lokeach came to terms to agree on the price. But nevertheless, that's not enough. Every Kinyan is made up of two elements. Number one, you need Gemiras Das, and number two, you need a Maisa Kinyan. A Maisa Kinyan, by definition, requires that the object be removed from the Rishus of the Mocher. And how could the Lokeach be Kona in the Sefer if it's in Caleb Shel Mocher, Rishus Mocher, the object, the merchandise, never left the Rishus of the Mocher? And the Gemara answers, Seifa son lekeilut lokech. We're going to have to do that which we were really disdained and we tried to avoid, namely to split the price into two parts. That Enochinami, the Reish is talking about the Caleb de Lokeach, and the Seifa is talking about Caleb de Mocher, and it's only the introduction to the Seifa of Caleb de Lokeach. And in Caleb de Lokeach, the reason why the Lokeach is Koneh is because it's in his Caleb. And now the Gemara is maintaining that the answer to Rav Sheshes' question is that Caleb de Lokeach, Bershus Mocher, is Kana Lokeach. So now the Gemara says, Umay Pascha, now why would we insist that we split the price into two parts? The Reish is talking about one case, and that's the Caleb of the Caleb of the of the Mocher, and the Sefer is talking about a case of the Caleb de Lokeach. That's very strange. The Gemara answers, Stoma de Milsa, ki Mocher money de Mocher Shchichi, ki Bei Lokeach money de Lokeach Shchichi. In other words, generally speaking, that's what the Gemara assumes, that if you ask who, you know, whose Caleb you're using, it all depends upon which domain you're in. So the Kalim are located in the domain of the owner of that domain, and it's the Baal Rishus.
So if you're talking about the Rishus of the Mocher, then probably the Kalim belong to the Mocher, and that's going to be the Reisha. But in the Sefer, we were talking about the case where the Lokeh took it into his Rishus, then we're talking about the Kalim of the Lokeh.
I think that's a weak argument, if I may say so, because the guy's coming to buy something, so he's going to come with his own Kalim to take it away with.
Again, you know, the Brisa is always formulated in a way in which we have to fill in the missing blanks. That's the way Brisas are written. And the Bala Brisa, the author of the Brisa, assumed that in order to make sense out of this Brisa, you're going to have to interpret that the Reish is talking about where Lokan Lokeh, it was the Kalev of Mocher, and the Sefer where it says that the Lokeh is Kona and the transaction is validated, it must be the Kalev of Lokeh. Now, how did the Brisa rely on our ingenuity that we'll be Sherlock Holmes and figure out, you know, the mystery? The answer is because we'll figure out that depending upon which location, where in which domain the merchandise is found, and the utensil in which the merchandise is kinyan, that's exactly the owner, that will indicate the owner of the clue.
So basically, okay, the Brisa makes a presumption and then proves the presumption by making
by understanding that there's no other way of justifying the Brisa. If the Brisa is talking about a case of Caleb in the ratio of Caleb to Lokeh, why isn't the Kenyan valid? We're now holding that Caleb shall Lokeh Bishus Mocher Kana Lokeh. So why isn't it? So the Brisa relied on our ingenuity to figure it out. In the Seif, on the other hand, where we're talking about the Kalim of the Lokeh, therefore the Kinyan is valid. Alright, Mabosai, now we get to Daf Pei Vav, which is the Daf for today. And again, this is extremely challenging, you know, to jump in and try to figure this all out. Okay, Omar Rava Tashma. Rava says, I have an answer to Rav Sheshes' question. The Brisa says, Moshach Chamorov Upoalov. Now here's a case where the merchandise is in the kalim of the mocher, sitting on the mocher's mule, okay, or on the back of one of the mocher's heisbachers, you know, one of his agents, his workers, and what the lokeh does is he does a meshicha. And he takes this donkey and he brings it into his own rishus. V'chnisan l'tok besa. And in this case, you have to ask the question whether the Mashiach is valid or not valid. So the Rashbam here, again, if we had time, we'd really have to read every word in this Rashbam.
Is he requiring the donkey or the thing that's on top?
He's requiring that which is on top of the donkey. But the question is, can you do a mashicha on a donkey, and that mashicha would be valid on the merchandise that's sitting in a basket on the back of the donkey? And the Rashbam explains that that's not a valid mashicha. Mashicha has to be done on the kli, on the utensil that's holding on to the merchandise. It cannot be done on the human being that's carrying this basket. It cannot be done on the mule that's carrying the merchandise. And
that's if it's in a kli that he's holding.
Correct. And now the Gemara is assuming
holding it without a kli.
Now the Gemara is assuming that the kli itself is the kli of the mocher, because what the mocher does is he can't give you apples by putting them on the back of a mule unless the apples are located in a utensil. Okay. Otherwise, the apples will just fall off the back of the mule or the driver of the mule. So therefore, the assumption is that it's the kalev of the mocher. And therefore, the kinyan has not been effectuated. Why? Because we manavshach. It's, as long as it's in the rishus of the mocher, and it's in the basket of the mocher, then for sure there's no kinyan. Elo what? You want to say that maybe the lokeh now was moshech the peros into his rishus? The answer is he never did a mashiach on the peros. Why? Because he only did a mashiach on the mule. And the Brisa is going to emphasize that this kinyan is invalid, which means that both the mocher and the lokeh have rights to rescind and undermine this transaction. Why? And the answer is because even though everything was set in motion, let's say, for example, take a look at the Brisa. The Brisa says, Ben Shep Pasak. Pasak means they decided on a price. there was an agreeable price for this volume of merchandise. Even if they haven't measured it out yet, they don't know exactly how much the produce is, but that should be irrelevant, because the Mishnah earlier in this parak said that medida is not necessary if there was psikas damim, if they agreed on a price. Ubein modad achalo pasak, and how much more so in the case where they measured it out, but they haven't yet agreed on a price. In all these cases, shneim yecholim lachzobahem, both the mocher and lokeach could rescind their das, and the transaction is invalid. And why is this? Because again, there's no kinyan here. Why is there no kinyan? As we said before, the meshicha of lokeach is invalid. Then the brisa goes on here on peivavam and aleph and says pirkon. Oh, now we have an exciting situation. Pirkon means he unloaded it. The lokeach took the peros out of the off the back of the mule, and now we have a perfect kinyan. Number one, the peros are in the domain of the lokeach, of the buyer. Number two, it's no longer in the domain of the mocher. That's called pirkon. If nisal l'topeso, he now has a basket of fruit, of produce that's sitting on his table. In such a case, then it doesn't matter. Pasak atchelo modad. Even if they haven't measured out how many bushels there are of apples here, but they've already done psikas domim, they've already determined on an agreeable price, is ein shneim yecholim lachso. Now the kinyan is absolutely clinched. And no one could rescind his das and invalidate the kinyan. But modad atchelo pasak, now the brisa adds another precondition: the validity of the kinyan and its, you know, irreversibility is contingent on psikas damim. Even if they did everything, which means lokeach took the fruits and put them on his table in his house, and even if there was a medida, they measured out exactly how many fruits there are, the kinyan is not yet clinched, because we're missing the main purpose of every kinyan. And that is gemiras das. There has to be a decision. And if there was no psikas damim, in which case the lokeach has no clue how much he's going to be paying for this. You know, this is when you go into a cab and, you know, he tells you, so you say, tafil ta moneh, you know, because if he doesn't put on the moneh, he's going to hit you with 100 shekel for a 50 shekel trip, you know what I'm saying? So therefore there's no gemiras das, and therefore shneim yecholim lachzor. What does it mean, shneim yecholim lachzor? Even the mocher could rescind, because until the lokeach has gemiras das, the kinyan is incomplete, and the mocher can decide, you know what, I have a better buyer who's willing to pay a higher price, and he can cancel the kinyan.
If they didn't have gemiras das yet, and the lokeach has it in his rishus, has he stolen it? Is it
gonna no, he hasn't stolen it yet. They're just waiting for psikas dam. Mm. Everything is going to happen in its time. And if he's chozer bo, so then the lokech will say, here's your produce, the kinyan never was effectuated, and I'm returning it to
you. Can you have...
Now we get to Rava. Give me a minute, Rav Osa, because this is... I'm going to lose my trend here. So what's Rava seeing here in this brisa? I didn't see anything in this brisa. Ah! Ubi de kelav de mocher b'shus lokech kana. The brisa says that the only time that this kinyan will be effectuated is when the lokeach actually takes the produce and puts it on his table. Even though the produce sitting on the back of the mule in the basket of the mocher is already in the house of the lokeach. It's now in the rishus of the lokeach. So why not apply the Rashbam's principle of bittul, as we discussed earlier, that even though the produce is in the kli of the mocher, nevertheless the kli of the mocher is batel to the rishus, to the airspace of the domain of the lokeach. Why does the brisa tell you that this kinyan is not complete until the produce is actually situated on the table of the lokeach? Forget about that. As soon as the mule comes into the house, enters into the yard of the lokeach, the kinyan should be effectuated. The answer is, it can't be effectuated because it's in kelav de mocher. It's in the basket of the seller. As long as it's in the basket of the seller, then the basket itself The basket itself has its own, sets up its own reshus, and it's not batel to the reshus of the lokeach. If that be the case, let's flip it around the other way, which was Rav Sheshi's original suffix. What if the kelim belong to the lokeach and the reshus of the mocher? That should be an effective kinyan. Why? Because the keli itself sets up its own reshus. Just 1 second. Let me just go over it one more time. I'm sorry. The mathematics is very important, and I can't even see the page. Let's just read the language of the Gemara here. Mi the kelav demokshus lokech lo kana. What does it mean? Lo kana means that the keli sets up its own reshus. Do we have that? The keli sets up its own reshus, even though it's located within the reshus of lokeach. So now, in the flip side, is kelav de lokeach, kelav de lokeach, nami b'shus mocher, lokana. Ah. I have to say a special prayer here. okay, so again, be the kelav de mocher. Oh, look at that. Right here.
Good. Just 1 second. Umi the kelav de mocher b'shus lokeach lokana. So again, the kelav de mocher b'shus lokeach lokana, which means that the kli is batel. Just 1 second. Umi the kelav de mocher b'shus lokeach lokana. Let me just see the Rashbam here. Just 1 second. This morning I had it, but just give me a second. Me the kelav de mocher b'shus lokeach lo kana. So the Brisa says that if it's in the kelim of the mocher, but since it's in the reshus of the lokeach, so therefore what?
So you're saying Kli is not bottle to the area.
The Kli is not bottle.
In both cases.
So 1 second. So if the Kli is not bottle, so then Kelev de Lokeach b'shus mocher should be Kana Lokeach. So why does he say Lo Kana Lokeach? Just 1 second. The main of the point is property. Again, if the reshus lokeach was ikar, then it should be mevatel. It should be mevatel the kli. Okay, Rabosei, let's just go on, and I apologize. We'll have to work backwards. Again, umi de kelav de mocher b'shus lokeach lokana is kelav de lokeach nam b'shus mocher lokana. Amrav Nachbar Yitzchak b'she shfachan. The case is not where the merchandise was in the reshus, it was in the keli of the mocher, but rather shafchan. That means he turned over the kli in such a way that the produce is no longer in the kli of the mocher, but rather it's in the kli, it's in the reshus of the lokeach.
Which means it could be in his kli or in his reshus.
No, what we're saying is that what does the Brisa say? The Brisa says, Moshe Chamor Polavings Yisrael Veso Shneim Yecholim Lachzor. Correct? Shneim Yecholim Lachzor. Umi de Kelev de Mocher B'Shus Lokeach Lokana.
If it's in the Mocher's Kli, that blocks him, because it's not bottle.
Right, that blocks the king.
So if he pulls it out, then there's nothing to block it, then it's easy.
Correct. So now we're talking about a case where he pours it out. So Iktid Rava. Rava said that doesn't make any sense. See, he got upset with Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak because he's offering a rejection of his proof, which doesn't stand on anything. It has no leg to stand on. Mide shfachan ktani? Does it say anything in the Brisa about shfachan? What does it say in the Brisa? Pirkan ktani. It says that he unloaded it. Correct? And if he unloaded it, apparently it's still in the kli of the mocher. Otherwise, the Braisa left out the most important point,
and that is shvachan, right? How can you tell me that the Braisa is talking about shvachan? It doesn't say a word about shvachan. All it says is pirkan. So the Gemara says, Elo Omar Mar Baravashi. Mar Baravashi said that, you know why this Braisa is not approved to Rava? Because bimis alche desume, we're talking about bundles of garlic. And garlic is something that's transported without a kli. You know, they're long bundles, and therefore there's no kli over here.
And therefore you don't have to say it's spilled out.
Correct, you don't have to say it's spilled out. You don't have to use the ukimta of shvachan. But rather, you can talk about a certain kind of produce which was not located in the kli of the mocher, but rather it was directly on the back of the animal. And therefore, as soon as it enters into the domain of the lokeach could be kone. Just one second. Can I trouble you, Brian, just to close the door, if you don't mind? Thank you so much. Okay, just one second. So, Omar Rava Toshma. Let's just go over the Toshma one more time and see if we can get it down. It says in the Braisa that Moshe Chamorov Upalov, etc., etc. It says Shneim Yicholim Lachzor Bahen. They could both be Choser. So it means that even though the price was set, nevertheless the Kinyan is not clinched until such time as the produce is removed from the kelim of the locher, even if it's in the rishus of the locher, ishnem yicholim lachzor bo. So Rava has a proof. Let's see. Mi de kelov de mocher birshus locher lo kana mocher klomar. Ein hakli shel hamocher mi akeves hakinyan kevan shumizbatel legabe rishus halokeach. Ah, okay. Now it's becoming a little bit more clear. Ah, okay. So I made a mistake. The proof of Rava is not from the Reisha of the Braisa, where the Braisa says, Shneim Yecholim Lachzor Bahem, and the Kinyan is not valid, but rather from the Seifa. The Seifa says, Hechnisan L'toch Beisaho, is then Ein Shneim Yecholim Lachzor Bahem. In other words, once the mule was brought into the house of the Lokeach, the Kinyan is valid, despite the fact that the merchandise, presumably, is still located in the basket of the mocher. So now the question is, if the kli of the mocher is primary, and therefore it sets up its own reshus, it's not batil to the reshus of the lokeach, why then is lokeach kone in the sefer this price, so when it's echnisal and tof beso? The answer must be that the kli is bottled to the rishus. Ah, now I understand the proof of Rava. Rava says, let's flip it around. If the lokeach brings his kli into the rishus of the mocher, if the kli is bottled to the rishus of the mocher, then lo kana lokeach. So Rava has an agenda here, so to speak, to answer Rav Sheshis' original question by saying that the kinyan is not valid. The Gemara says, no, it could be that the kinyan would be valid and the kli is not bottled to the rishus let's go back to the case in the Braisa, right? So if the Braisa says that the kinyan is effectuated as soon as the produce enters into the bayis of the lokeach, the reason for that is, says the Gemara, is because shfachan. It means that the kli itself is no longer the container of its contents, and therefore the lokeach is kone. But enochinami, if it wouldn't be shfachan, then the kli itself
would be mevatel the rishus of the lokeach, and the kinyan wouldn't be valid. And if that be the case, then in kalev shel lokeach rishus mocher, the kinyan would not be valid. So let's just go over this one more time. So Rava wanted to prove that the in this battle between the kli and the rishus, it is the rishus that wins the battle. The rishus that wins the battle, and therefore, even if the merchandise in the brisa is still located in the kli of the mocher, nevertheless, the kinyan is valid because the kli is batel to the rishus. So the Gemara says, no. The reason why the kinyan is valid is not because the kli is batel to the rishus, but rather that he shafchan means the produce is no longer in the kli of the mocher. That's why the kinyan is valid. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't say anything about shfachan, but nevertheless, we're talking about shum, we're talking about garlic, and it's called tume because the shin becomes a tough in Aramaic, right? So this garlic is not in a kli at all. So it was never in a kli, and therefore the lokeach is kon. Omar avhuna berei demar zuchel ravina michti pirkan ktani. It says in the Brice of Pirkan that he unloaded the produce. Is Mali Pasak Umali Lo Pasak? Now this is a separate discussion here. The Gemara wants to know, why does the Brice insist on adding a precondition to the validity of this Kinyan that they came to some agreement about the price? What difference does it make? As long as they agreed to sell, and the buyer agreed to buy, and the merchandise was brought into the rishus of the lokeach, that itself should be sufficient. The maisa kinyan is complete. The Gemara answers, no. Amar lei, you think that once the mocher agreed to sell and the lokeach agreed to buy and the merchandise was brought into the rishus of the lokeach, that itself validates the kinyan. That's not really true. Why? Pasak, only after they agreed on a price, somcha daite, then the mocher and lokeach have what's called a gemiras das, and they're absolutely committed to this kinyan. But lo pasak, if they haven't yet agreed on a price, lo somcha daite, there's no smichus das. So again, as we said before, every kinyan is generated not just by the maisa kinyan, but even more fundamentally, primarily, by the das, the agreement to a kinyan. And the das is dependent upon the fact that the price was agreed upon. If later on they agree on the price, then the kinyan is valid.
This could actually be left out. It's just thrown in once they, because it's
but this Gemara is so critical to understand how kinyanim operate. Okay. Amale Ravina L'Ravashi Toshma. Let's go back to the original Sofek of Rav Sheshes, and let's determine this suffix not from a brisa, we failed to quote any brisa, any mishnah, but from Amoraim, the Rav Shmuel, the Amri Chavayu, Kalev Shel Adam, Konalo Bechol Mako. That if a buyer has Kalev, he can use that Kli to be Kone, Bechol Mako. So the Gemara says, what's the emphasis here on Bechol Mokum, La Suye Mai? You're obviously coming to be Marbe something, is a Ribu here. Lav, isn't it so? La Suye Rishus Mocher. Meaning that the Kli is not bottled to the Rishus of Mocher, therefore the Kinyan is effectuated. So Kalev Shel Adam, Konalo Bechol Mokum. So the Gemara says, no. That even if you'll tell me that Rav and Shmuel agree that Kalev Shel Okeh Rishus Mocher is Kone, but you have to add a condition. It wasn't an absolute statement of Rav and Shmuel, but Hasam di Amale Zil Kni. Now we know that in Kinyanim, if they agree on everything, that's not enough. Because you need something called Zil Kni. That Amira of Zil Kni is absolutely critical. And the Rashbam explains that once he says the word zil kni, go ahead and make this kinyan, that amira indicates that he's giving rishus to the lokeach to acquire ownership in his rishus, meaning the mocher's rishus, such that the issue of kelev shel lokeach rishus mocher is no longer an issue. It's an issue as long as we see the Rishus as being a powerful entity unto itself, and it never left the Rishus of the Mocher. But if the Mocher says to the Lokech Zil Kni, meaning go ahead and make a Kinyan, he means he's Kone even the Karka, even the Rishus of the Mocher. So then the final Maskan of this Gemara seems to be that Kalev Shalokeach Rishus Mocher Lo Kana Lokeach, unless you said Zil Kli. So a lot of the Rishonim say, and with this we'll take a pause, that if the Gemara doesn't come to any definite conclusion regarding the suffix of Rav Sheshes, then the principle, the overriding principle in Dini Mamonos is Hamotzi Mechavel of Arai, which means we go back to the Muchzok. So the Mocher has a right to say that this Kinyan is not valid. Add to that the fact that the Gemara interprets Rav and Shmuel as referring to a case of Zil Kni, which sort of indicates that without Zil Kni, this Kinyan would not be effectuated, and therefore we need the Zil Kni. Halacha Lamaisa, Kalev Shalokeach Rishus Mocher Lo Kana Lokeach. In the case of get, for example, that's going to have tremendous implications. If a man gives a get to his wife within the Rishus of the Baal, you're going to have to somehow assume either it's like a Zil Kni, because the very fact that he wants to divorce her, and he says, Hareat Megureshes Mimeni, that itself indicates Zil Kni, that he wants her to be Kona, a Rishus, to be a Socheres of a Rishus, and rent out the Rishus of the Baal. Alternatively, you're going to have to assume that the situation is such that we know that the Baal would like to give his wife an area, you know, where he's not makpid that she would pick up the hakli, would pick up the get. Okay, Tnan Hasam, the Mishnah says in Masechet Kiddushin, Nechasim sheyesh la machrayus. Karka is called Nechasim sheyesh la machrayus in the Mishnah in Kiddushin. Why? Because achrayus means that if someone borrows money, then the karka, all his real estate is meshubad, has a shibud vis-a-vis that loan, such that if he defaults on the loan, the lova, the malva has recourse to collect his debt from karka. That's called nechasim sheyeshlem achrais. Niknim bekesef ubishtar chazaka. The Mishnah establishes there are three ways of effectuating a kinyan on karka. But with regard to metaltalin, einam niknin ella b'meshicha. The only kinyan that is effective is a kinyan meshicha. Now, there's no mention of hadbah here. The Mishnah doesn't mean to exclude hadbah, says the Rashbam. That's pashut. The Mishnah wants to tell you not only is hadbah, which is the super kinyan in metaltalin, effective, but even meshicha is effective. Bisura masni le lahosh maita mishmeder av chizda, bepumpedisa masni le mishmeder av kahana, viarmi le mishmeder rava. There are various traditions here, but lo shanu, to qualify this Mishnah, el advarim she'ein darkon lehagbia. When is meshicha effective? Only an object which is very large or very weighty, and it's impossible or virtually impossible to lift it up, then meshicha fills in as the fallback kinyan. Aval dvarim she'darkon lehagbia. If you have smaller objects or lighter objects that are generally lifted up, bagba in the meshicha lo, then meshicha is not effective as a kinyan. Yosef Abaye v'ka'omra lo shmaitita. Abaye said over this sugya, and he said it in front of Rav Ada. His Esve Rav Ada bar Masnal Abaye. Rav Ada raised the following objection. This is a Mishnah in Masechet Ksubis, the famous third parak of Ksubis, Elunaris, the subject of which is Kimle Bidurabimine. That means if you violate and you're obligated for two punishments, Bivasachas, simultaneously, then you get the higher punishment that's called Kidei Rishoso, Mishum Risha Achas Atomachaivo, Vi'i Atomachaivo, Mishum Shtei Rishoyos. So now we're going to talk about a case in the Mishnah in Masechta Ksubis of a person who steals a wallet on Shabbos. Now every ganav is chayev to pay both keren, the principal, and kefel, a double portion, when he effectuates a kinyan gneva, which means when he removes the object from the reshus of the nignav and he takes it into his own reshus or into a simta. And basically all the laws that govern kinyanim and metalton apply to a ganav in order for the ganav to be chayev. Now in this case, what the ganav does is he takes the kis, this wallet, out of the reshus of the nignav, which is a reshus ha-yochid, b'shabbos, and it's Shabbos. And once he takes it out into a reshus ha-ravim, then he's chayev for Meleches Hotzah. Hotzah means when you transport an object from a Rishus HaYochin into Rishus HaRabin. So at this point, he has incurred two different chiyuvim. On the one hand, he's chayev Misa, or B'shogig, he's chayev Chatos, for violating Meleches Hotzah. And at the same time, he has effectuated a Kinyan Gneva at the same moment, and therefore, should he be chayev for Gneva? So the answer is he should be getting the harsher punishment, which would be the punishment for the death penalty for Hotzah. Yet, to our surprise, the Mishnah establishes Chayev, that he has to pay for the Gneva, despite the fact that he's Chayev Misa, for Meleches Hotzah, if it was Bemezit. Shekvar Nischayev B'Gneva, Kolim Sheyovel Lidei Isur Shabbos. Because the Kinyan of the Gneva has already been effectuated even before he takes the purse out of the reshus of the nignav and violates Meleches Hotzah. So Meleches Hotzah came second. But Megarev Yotze, if he's dragging it out, in other words, it's on the ground, in such a case, the Kinyan Gneva is effectuated at the very split second that the Meleches Hotzah is effectuated, meaning they both happen Vasachas. When he takes the object, this in this case the purse, out of the reshus of the nignav, that's when he's chayv for hotzah, and therefore potter, he doesn't have to pay for the gneva sharei isur shabbos u'gneva boin kiechod. There's a simultaneity with regard to both the kinyan gneva and the meleches hotzah. Now, harei says Rav Ado, kis dvar debar hagbahu, kis is something that normally could be lifted, meaning it's not something that's heavy or weighty and requires and therefore lends itself to akbah. Fafilu hachi, nevertheless, kani b'meshicha. In the sefer, the brisa, he's koneh by dragging it out, and that's a kinyan meshicha. So you see that you can implement and validate a kinyan meshicha even on an object that is royal akbah. Amale, so Abai answers Rav Ado bar Masna b'misna. This brice is referring to a case of a misna where there's a strap, and therefore he's dragging the purse by the strap. So Rav Ado doesn't understand this answer of Abai, this defense of Abai. Anon nami b'misna kamina. I'm also talking about a case where he dragged the purse by its strap. So what difference does it make? Nevertheless, even if it has a strap and he drags it by the strap, it still lends itself to Agbah. And if it lends itself to Agbah, Mashiach shouldn't be a valid Kinyan. Amalei, Sabaye answered, B'midi deboi misna. It's so heavy, it's a very large purse. Now, there are women who buy these purses and walk around with them, that you need misna, you need the strap in order to pull it. That's the only way you can move it. Now, it could be that it's possible to do Agbah, but it's not usual, it's not normal to do Agbah, and in such a case, Meshicha is valid. And at this point, the Gemara is going to bring a Toshma, some sort of proof from a Braisa, in order to resolve this issue about whether Meshicha can be effective for objects that are normally lifted and lend themselves to Agbah. And this is going to be a brice that we learned back on Pehei Amud Aleph. And Emirtz Hashem will pick this up either later today or perhaps tomorrow.